is endeavor to just talk some principles around financial situation and financial principles from God's Word. Something we don't often do in this local church, but tough times call for radical return to biblical principle. And in the light of the last several months, the focus on the gospel of grace, we've had to revisit and redefine a lot of the way we've looked at finances in the past. And we started off by looking at Malachi, which is a beautiful God-inspired passage of Scripture. And we discovered, when we look at it through the lenses of the new covenant, the finished work of Christ, and the fact that we have been brought into blessing and removed out of cursing, we've had a detox the curse out of Malachi. But that doesn't mean the Word of God isn't true for every blessing it's promised for those that are faithful in bringing their offering, being generous on every occasion, in our tithes, in our giving for the gospel, that God undertakes to care for us. We saw that tithing and offering was something before the law, but God included in the law. But blessing and curses don't apply to us in the same sense that we live one day in blessing, one day in curse, one day in blessing. We live in the blessing of God. And our generosity and our giving and our sowing is part of that blessing. When we go through to the new covenant, we find Jesus speaks about giving, the tithe, the offering, but he does so very much more concerned about the heart. He says, for where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. There's a sure way of finding out where people's hearts are, is what they do with their treasure, with their money. Where they put their money represents where they're putting their time. And when people have a stingy outlook to life, it tells you a lot about what's going on inside of their hearts. When you see other people being blessed, and then you are sulky about it, it would show a lot about where our heart is. But if we rejoice in other people's blessing, and other people's prosperity and growth and development, it shows that we've got a good heart. Amen? And one of the ways, biblically, that we keep our hearts focused on the primary purpose, which is the gospel, is by what we do with our treasure. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Very clear on biblical principle. Jesus spoke a lot about generosity. Because when tough times come, is not the time to become stingy. Hello? That's the time to say, we're not going to respond and operate in a worldly system. We're going to trust God over and above our situation. And I want to read one passage of Scripture before we take up the offering this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians. The New Testament talks a lot about finances. Paul, as we saw last week in Philippians, commended the Philippian churches for their partnership in the gospel. Because in the New Testament, the giving is not for the temple, but it's for the gospel. And he commended them for their partnership in the gospel. And like I said last week, you'd think people would be falling over their feet to get behind the gospel that Paul was preaching and the missionary trips. You'd think they would be looking for every opportunity to get behind it, only to discover that this one little church that he refers to in 2 Corinthians, and he commends them. Just listen to these words. Maybe the words can come up. It's just an amazing passage of Scripture. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, does that make sense? Because how can they have this overflowing joy when they're in extreme poverty and when they're going through severe trials? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Very simple, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is in our own circumstances and our comfort zones. Joy given by the gospel is a whole different matter. It's something deep down that bubbles up when we see God being glorified. It's something deep down in us that finds joy in knowing God's presence and what He's done in our lives. That's the true fountainhead of joy. Not our circumstances and these severe trials and extreme poverty they were going through. And verse 3 says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege," underline privilege. They saw this ministry of the anointing on Paul's life to preach the gospel as a privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. "And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." So this wasn't about him going around pleading poverty, as we see in Philippians. He said, "We've learned to be content in all circumstances." This is not for the health of the apostle in this case. This isn't just for the health of the church. This isn't just for the health of the ministry. This is for the health of the believers. In Philippians he said, "I'm looking to what may be credited to your account." And here in this commendation of those Philippian churches in Macedonia, he goes on in verse 6 and says, "So we urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion the act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in the grace of giving." So there was a beautiful picture in the New Testament where it wasn't legalistic. There was no threats of cursing because they weren't being generous. There was no fear of the heavens being closed over their lives because they understood they were in a better covenant and they were in a new covenant. And those blessings that God offered in Deuteronomy were still theirs. They would be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed in their coming and going, but they no longer needed to live in the fear of curse because Jesus Christ had become a curse for them. Jesus Christ had fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ had brought about the heart of the gospel, and part of that is a giving, a generosity, for God so loved the world. And this is the indescribable gift that we have. And Paul and Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart is." So in generosity, it's not just a matter of to supply the needs of people, but it's also that it will result in praise and thanksgiving to God. So I want to encourage, as a church, this is the end of 3 weeks, I said I was going to teach on these things. But when we're faithful with little, we'll also be faithful with much. When Jesus saw the widow bring the mite, he might have been reminded of the widow who fed Elijah at the brook. But he saw and he said, "She's given the most." Why? Because he saw she was faithful with little. It's not about being faithful with the big. We're not talking about, well, when you got 1 million, then you can be generous. People who are generous with the mite are generous when they get to the 1 million. I can tell you emphatically, when we faithful with the 10 rand, we'll be faithful with the 100 rand. We'll be faithful with the 1,000 rand. And you keep on, you know, thinking of the little boy that brought his fish and loaves. Little becomes much when it's put in his hands. And as one theologian said, "Yeah, but the loaves back in those days were huge. Beach balls." Now you can just imagine this little boy going for a picnic lunch with 7 of these beach ball size buns on his back and half a whale under his arm. And his friend said, "Where are you going today?" He said, "There's a picnic." No, man, he was a little boy, a little boy's lunch. He went to the lunch and he just brought that to Jesus. And the miracle happened when they started giving. When they started giving, the multiplication took place. When we're faithful with little, we're faithful with much. Over the years, you bump into people, and they're going to solve the whole world's debt. They're going to solve the whole church's debt. They're working on a case. It's usually about 150 billion they're working on, but it's been tied up in a bank there, and some politicians overseas in Switzerland having it. And there's always a long thing, but when that money comes through, it's going to solve all the debts of people in the church and finance. And there's lots of those big stories out there. But you know what God's looking at? He's looking for that lady who comes with her mite and says, this is for the gospel. My friend, as we take up the offering this morning, and I've been out of my comfort zone doing these teachings. I don't like to talk about money because I know how much it's been exploited out there. But I do know it's important, especially in these times. As we bring our offerings, I'm going to take up, can the guys come up? As we take up the offering this morning, I asked last week, I want to emphasize again this week. As we give this morning, we reminded of our partnership in the gospel. Amen? Say the gospel. We're not giving for lights and water. We're not giving just for an alms fund. We're giving because the church is a custodian of the gospel to preach the word. And I want you to know that what you take in your hands represents your time, your energy, your sweat, your graft, your sitting in traffic, unanswered telephone calls. But you're bringing a chunk of that time, chunk of that energy and sweat, and you're saying, this is for the gospel. When I see souls get saved, when I hear of testimonies, when I hear of outreaches, when I hear of ministries, when I hear these things, I'm going to know I was part of that. Because I went myself because my seed went into that place. Amen? We've got to change the way from just bucks in the bucket and let's get it over with quickly, to where we realize this is part of our worship, part of our ministry, part of our partnership. So this morning we do. As we come, Lord, with our finances, we thank you that the gospel will be proclaimed in this place to the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, Laura. Just as they're doing that, taking up the offering, on the subject of giving and generosity,